our Sunday lectionary has us going through, if you haven't noticed, this letter of Paul, the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And I wanted to talk about it today because I really think this message that Paul lifts up for us in Corinthians is relevant to us as a church and as a country. What we read about in chapter 8, though, is that Paul is encouraging the churches to give towards this fund called the Jerusalem Fund. And it was basically a collection of money, like churches do, but it was being done in the Gentile churches for support for Judean Jewish believers who were struggling as a result of severe famine. And they were suffering from famine in the 40s, like 40 AD it started. And so this is a fundraising effort that Paul is involved in, and he's giving a lot of time to it. And he's telling the church that this support of those who are suffering is absolutely an essential task of the followers of Jesus. And he reminds the readers that Jesus held nothing back of himself, right? Emptying himself on the cross to bestow God's riches. And so Paul views this monetary offering as a symbol of our interdependence, right? And our interconnectedness of God's people worldwide, that we're all connected. So he's asking the Corinthian church a very specific thing, and he tells them to give out of their abundance. And this theme of abundance keeps coming up in this letter. And it's important. Now, we're looking ahead to this, of course, week of 4th of July, and we ourselves are preparing to celebrate our independence. And I believe part of the call or the plan for us as Christians is to take this holiday to recognize how blessed we are as individuals and as a nation, to see the abundance that Paul describes as a gift that we have for others. Now, I do love the 4th of July. As I mentioned, I love the fireworks. My dogs do not agree with me on that part, but we disagree. We agree to disagree. But I think it is important to really celebrate and count our blessings on the 4th of July. America has a great deal more than most in the world. We really are a land of incredible abundance. And the way that Paul describes the church in Corinth, I think could be used to describe America today as having, he calls it, present abundance. And he contrasts it to those in need. And notice that, but I will say, Paul has a very balanced and fair view of giving. He says the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not what one does not have. You know, there's no guilting here. He's like, look at it. And he says, I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you. But, he says, it is a question of fair balance between your abundance and their need. Right? So you hear that. That contrast. And then he quotes from Exodus 16, 18, and he says, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. He's referring to the story of the Israelites in the desert. He's talking, that's a quote from the story when they receive manna from God, from heaven, right? He's lifting this up as a model of what community looks like. A community is where no one has too little, right? Not too little to sustain themselves and their families. And that is a dream that I have, not only for the church, but for our nation as Americans. Frankly, for our whole world. I mean, I'm sure you share that dream with me. We probably all have this sentiment, a vision of a nation and of a world in which no one is left to go hungry or to starve, a world where no one is oppressed and killed by violent regimes because of their class or race or religion, a world where people don't have to flee their homelands in fear or in violence because of their poverty, a world where no one dies from illnesses that we already know how to cure just because they lacked access. but I have to admit, this is a dream that I love, but I myself can get bogged down, not in the sense of abundance, but in scarcity of what I don't have, of what is missing, what is lacking. And the Bible's just constantly calling us out of that mindset. Because when my mind is on scarcity, then I'm no longer standing in a place of faith and then generosity, let alone thinking about the plight of others. And unfortunately, I think that scarcity mindset is one that dominates American culture today. I think Paul is calling us to think differently, to have a mindset of faith and abundance. And if there was ever a nation in this world that should do that, it's America. So I know our news and our media focuses mostly on what's going wrong, kind of feeds the scarcity narrative, feeds the fear narrative. But there are many positive and good things going on in our world. Good news just doesn't get reported on. It's not really the thing that makes headlines because it doesn't sell, so we don't hear about it as much. But I think we, as a church, we know that there's good news to share. We know that God is active and working in this world and in our country and in our lives. And we have that opportunity to share that good news, to contradict the narrative of scarcity and fear with faith and abundance. There are so many reasons to be hopeful, to be grateful. I think about so many Americans, you know them, many of them are you, who are donating their time, who are giving generously to those in need. Here at St. Dunstan's, I was thinking through all the ways that we are spreading the good news and living into faith and abundance, right? We have like our quilt ministry, right, where we serve those who are hurting or ill and remind them of God's presence. Or our interfaith shelter, where we host people who do not have homes every year here on our campus. Or the incredible financial support that we provide through our outreach, through our rummage sale, which of course is coming up and we're going to talk about more. But the funds from those donations of these efforts are incredible. It's providing housing to organizations like El Nido and Episcopal Community Services, the Teen Shelter, to Amicus, to Suicide Prevention, St. Mark's Backpacks, Al Ali Hospital in Gaza, the Heifer International. Think of all these places and people that we have the honor of assisting and serving. Your donations, your time literally goes to feed hungry people and to house those without a home. I think this is part of our tradition and history in America, and I want to just like call us back to it, to listen to our better angels of helping those in need. Like our nation's Peace Corps, right? Building wells, helping farmers create sustainable agriculture, or teaching important job skills, or our military families, our soldiers who risk their lives, who will go and serve their country and often intervene in conflicts not their own. There is so much to celebrate. There is so much to build on for us as Americans. And of course, the freedoms and abundance we have in America do come with great cost and sacrifice. I'm a daughter of a veteran. My dad is here. He is a hero to me. I asked him once why he joined the Air Force as a young man. And he said this, and I have it written down, Dad. I decided I love the idea of helping my country and having the military experience under my belt more than I cared what most people might think or the danger to my life. So I went ahead and volunteered as an aviator. I was stationed in Thailand in an F-4 squadron. Instead of dying or becoming a POW, I was blessed to come home safely and get to the valuable and important work of raising you and your siblings. these are the examples. So many of you shine that kind of light. You are examples of serving others, of bringing, you are the good news. When I was at St. James, I had the honor, and it is a deep honor, of getting to know quite well a woman that all of you should know about. You can Google her when you get home. Her name is Dr. Edith Eger. She lives here in San Diego. She's now in her 90s. She is a Holocaust survivor. She is an author and a psychologist. She's written some incredible books. One of her books is called The Choice. And in it, she describes the way she was blessed by those from Americans in her life when they came and liberated her from a death camp as a teenager. And it is indescribably moving. And so I just wanted to read you a portion of this book. I had to edit a little. But it is a description of this incredible moment when she was very near death. And she's saved by American soldiers. This is right after a death march out of Auschwitz. This is what she writes. I lie out in the heavy air, my body entwined with strangers' bodies, all of us in a heap, some already dead, some like me, barely alive. When I open my eyes, I don't know if I have slept or fainted or for how long. Cries break me out of a sleep that resembles death. The cries must be death's herald. I open my eyes and I can see jeeps rolling slowly in through the pine forest that obscures the camp from the road and sky. The Americans have arrived. The Americans are here. This is what the feeble are shouting. The jeeps look wavy and blurry. Someone is singing, "When the Saints Go Marching In." I see men in fatigues. I see flags with stars and stripes. American flags, I realize. Are there any living here? The Americans call in German. Raise your hand if you're alive. I try to move my fingers to signal that I'm alive. I can't. Here I am, I want to call out. I have no voice. He scours the bodies. His eyes pass over me with no recognition. The soldier shouts something in English. They're leaving. And then a patch of light explodes on the ground. It is the sun colliding with my sister's tin can. She has arrested the soldier's attention. They are returning. We have one more chance. I close my eyes and concentrate, raising my hands above my head. I hear the soldiers again. One is very close to me. And now I can feel my hand. I know it's my hand because the soldier is touching it. I open my eyes. I see that his wide, dark hand is circling my fingers. He presses something into my hands. Food, he says. He lifts me now and deposits me on the ground. And my sister Magda is beside me on the grass. We have survived the final selection. We are alive. We are together. We are free. On this 4th of July week, recall that we have been so blessed. Our freedoms, our gifts, our blessings, our abundance. And we have the honor of serving people in our community and our nation and around this world. Embrace the call to live in that abundance and generously as Paul invites the church in Corinth. May this holiday create in us not just pride in who we are or what we have done, but a renewed will. A renewed will to ensure that our abundance and freedoms are used to meet the needs of all God's children. So all people can know the love, freedom, mercy, and abundance of God. Thanks be to God.